haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. What she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Spoiler content will be included in this podcast, so if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. I have not had the privilege and honor to be with you folks for quite a while since Survivor ended last season. Steve, Melissa have done a bang-up, fantastic job with Big Brother, but now they're passing the torch to me for another season of Survivor, and as it happens every season, I go through a long, thought, drawn-out process, do I want to do this again or not, because it's been a long time, and I know David's out there, known David for freaking years, JB for years, all the way back to Web TV. At some point, it gets to where, like, man, it's hard. You know, it's like an old quarterback or an old pitcher. It's kind of hard to get up one more time, but I think I'm up. So I think we're going to have another good season. I know we're going to have another good season from the information I know. It's going to be a good season. There's going to be good things that you like. There's going to be bad things you're like, are you kidding me? But doesn't that kind of go with every season? So anyway, tonight we're going to kind of get introduced to the three tribes, player by player. I put out some pictures today that will help you. I thought about you, Reggie. I know you're here. Love you. Love you. Love you.
Love you too, baby. Thank you. I needed that because I already got my winner picked out. I got my winner.
Okay. All right. I will hear that tonight. But what we normally do, we let you watch one episode, and then we'll make our top three picks, and we'll see how we do at the end of the season.
Wait a minute, Jim. Who won last season? Who won last season?
I did.
Dan McRae.
I picked the winner.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Who are we talking about as the winner?
Cardiologist, the doctor guy.
No, that wasn't last season. That was two seasons ago.
Was that already two? Who won last year?
Yeah,
then
you're
I forgot.
You're talking about Gabler. That was two seasons ago.
Oh my God!
No,
did I space out?
Last season was what's his name? Fatu. What?
Jam.
Oh, Yam Yam. Ugly.
Yam Yam.
Jam Jam.
Oh yeah. No, never mind. Cancel everything I said. Erase that, Steve.
Yeah, but you did. But hey, you did. You get credit for it. You get huge kudos for that. You picked Gabler when nobody else did. So we'll see what you do this season.
Oh God. Who had picked Yam Yam last year?
I think everybody had Yam Yam last season
because I couldn't stand it.
Within 3 weeks of the season, I told everybody. So I don't know. I think everybody knew it was going to win. It wasn't really competitive last season, which goes against what I like. Maybe we'll do a competitive this season. Maybe I won't give out as much, and we'll get back to how you won with Gabriel.
Well, you can always
DM me.
I mean, I don't like surprises, so you can just DM me. I'll be quiet. I won't say nothing.
I want to know.
Oh, Melissa wants to know, so just group us together.
Melissa's going to be on your box. She's going to be messaging you.
Well, you know why? Because I hate rooting for people that are going to lose.
Me too,
me
Melissa.
Nuts.
You're a winner in my book.
Melissa,
huh?
I do too. Melissa, I do too, and that's one reason I kind of don't like Big Brother, because everybody I pick, they leave the first 2 weeks, and I'm like, well, fuck. Okay, I'll see y'all next season.
Yeah,
exactly.
Rarely do I have my favorites win Big Brother, except for last year. Last year,
yeah,
Taylor won. That's who
I
wanted to win.
Last season with Taylor, it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this crap's going to happen, and she's going to overcome all these odds, and she's my favorite, and she's going, I can't believe this.
She is still my favorite. I loved her from the get-go. So,
me
yeah.
too. And she's still classy. She's still classy.
And very, very classy.
So, but anyway, we're going to get to some Survivor 45 JB tonight. And they're not going to make as much money as Joe Burrow, but I bet they're going to be more entertaining.
I wouldn't doubt that, yeah.
But anyway, here's how it's going to work tonight. I think I'm going to be able to stick around for the whole 3 hours. I don't know. I've been really, really busy. Steve and I talked about this today. We've got contingency plans all season on my availability. But I'm here. My plans are to be here every week. If I can't, I can't. But my plans are to be here. And tonight, the way we're gonna do this, I sent the pictures out tonight that, like Reggie said, that's going to help her, and I hope it helps other people who are not even calling in and are listening or will listen back tonight or tomorrow when they're driving to work, because trust me, I get those messages from people saying, I listened last night and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So I get those messages. So there are people listening. And there are some of you that they trust your opinions to. So think about that when you're talking about this. It's not just me. It's never, ever been all about me. It's always been about us. And tonight, the way this is going to work, Steve is going to take kind of control. He's going to go over those three tribes. He's going to bring up players. And we're going to get thoughts from everybody as to their chances. And later into the night, I will give out some information that may help you figure out what is going to take place. So with saying that, I turn this over right now to my brother, who a lot of people have said, is that your son? My producer, my extraordinaire, the guy who leads Whispers now, Steve, take it over, my man.
No, I'm too, first off, Jim, I'm too gigantic to be your son. Anyways, we have three tribes. We have the Reba tribe, we have the Lulu tribe, and we have the Balo tribe. We will start out with the Reba tribe. And this first guy here, my lord, is it just me, or does this guy, Austin Lee Kuhn, potentially look like almost like a carbon copy of Owen? Except maybe he'll do more than Owen actually did during his season last year. Or was it last season?
Cookie cutter casting.
Exactly. You know, I saw that argument get brought up, Jim.
It was on social media. I saw that argument get brought up that it seems like every single season now they have to find a different, you know, they have to find the same exact type of casting for literally each and every person that they cast on a specific season. Like, they need to find the token Asian. They need to find the token nerd. They need to find the token potential angry black woman. They have to, they have a whole bunch of quotas.
They found the angry black woman this year. You'll see that real quick. You'll see that episode one.
Oh my. Okay. Wow. Well,
what do you expect from a female truck driver?
I expect her to act just like Sue Hawk, except the fact that she's a different skin color.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Carry on, my man.
Well, we got Austin Lee Koon, and first thing that I notice when I look at him, I think athletic, probably will be kept around for challenge strength. If for some reason these guys let him get into the merge, could be a potential candidate, in my opinion, for an immunity run. He has said himself that he identifies most with Owen Knight, which, I mean, yeah, Owen made the finals, but didn't really do much the entire season. So maybe if he makes the finals, could we be looking at a potential final three loser here? However, though, what I find interesting is that he says that he will play most like Jay Starrett and Wendell, involving his genuine connections that he believes he'll make with his tribe mates. So overall, just on paper, I expect him to be probably one of the strongest members of the Reba tribe. Now, does that necessarily mean that Reba is going to win the tribal phase of this season? I can't exactly say that, but I, in my opinion, would be very surprised if Austin is a pre-merge boot, unless they decide to boot him right before the merge, where it's like, oh, this guy's going to be a potential threat headed into a merge. We can't have that. So,
okay.
All right, let's
get other people's thoughts.
Yeah, let's go to Melissa first on this one. What do you think about Austin Lee Koon?
Well, I told you that I really love him. I just love him. I watched an extended interview with him, and I just really, really liked him. And he just screamed winner to me. And he is my favorite to win. And other than having some Asian in him, he is Asian and American. I don't know which one of them is Asian, his mother or his father. But so he's half Asian. And I don't think I don't think he reminds me of Owen at all. I really liked Owen, don't get me wrong, but I think Austin is going to be a little smarter, and he's going to perform better in the challenges than Owen. So that's my opinion. Oh, and I wanted to tell you that when Jim was talking about people listening to the podcast, I do know that one of the castaways said that she listened to everything Survivor on Spotify. So I'm almost thinking that she's probably heard us.
Are you talking about a new cast member?
Yeah, a new cast member, D.
Okay. Yeah, she probably does. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them have contacted me over the years and said they listen. During the season, they can't get involved. You know, it's like a one – and it used to didn't be that way, but now it's like a one-year delay before they can actually do what they want to do. And so, yeah, I don't doubt that at all, Melissa.
Yes. But, yeah, she was saying that she listened to every Survivor podcast on Spotify. So chances that she's listened to us are really good. Okay.
All right, so.
Hi, Dee, if you're listening.
What I'm doing, I'm looking at notes. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, let's move on.
All right, yeah. Let's get the thoughts from David Cadmus. David, what do you think about Austin's chances this season?
Actually, I can only listen tonight because I haven't really watched any of the preseason stuff. So I'm just here to learn.
I'm with you, David. Okay. I'm with you, David. The first season ever, I have not looked at one interview. I have not looked at one video. I'm just going based off information I have.
That's normally what I do every year. I know nothing.
Yeah, well, I have to just keep my mouth shut and listen for as long as I can, and then I got to bounce. But
all right, well, we'll try to get you some information before you bounce.
Thank you, my brother.
Like your Yankees and my Red Sox, like we bounced.
Shoot.
That's pitiful.
Yankees are the best.
They are, but they're pitiful.
They're pitiful right now, but they will come back. They are like the phoenix. They will rise.
They best.
Okay. All right. Okay, who else we got out there? How about Reggie or JB, Steve?
Yeah, let's hear from Reggie. Reggie, what are your thoughts on the player Austin Lee Kuhn?
Well, I'm looking at his photo because I don't read none of anything. I go by the skin of my feet of my pants, but I think he looks really girly, which doesn't matter. I don't think he's a strong competitor, and he'll probably be out.
Okay.
Sorry, Melissa. I don't see anybody, but maybe Bruce. Yeah. And my girl that I like, but I hear that I hope she's not the fighter. No, you said truck driver, right?
No.
So I kicked out a girl
sure
that I really like.
Driver.
D.
Jim
who is the truck driver?
Jim said truck driver.
There's a female truck driver.
So her name is, let me see, Sabaya?
Sabaya.
Oh, Sabia. No, that's not the African-American lady that I really like. Okay, never mind.
Okay, well,
Sabia is African-American.
She is African-American, but she's not going to be around long.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
She's not the one I picked out that I like by their photos
and
their names.
Well, you did. All right, well, you did good because she's leaving real soon.
Okay, good. Bye. See you.
All right. How about you, JB? What are your thoughts on Austin?
My thoughts on Austin. oh man. Like I've said every season, and that is I have not seen any of the interviews. All I have is names written down, And I have probably had these names written down. God, I think back when Jim was first putting down, you know, putting these names out there, I'm going to say I have had these names written down since probably the beginning of July. All I have is the names, and let's say, for example, Austin Lee Kuhn, I just have a 26-year-old business student from Chicago. That's all I have. I have not seen any kind of interview or picture.
Well,
or
then.
Anything else.
Alrighty then. I guess it's going to be.
Steve, do you think that sometimes helps? Do you think that sometimes helps when you're trying to evaluate a cast analysis? You just kind of throw out what bullshit they're saying in interviews because you know most of it's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people who actually believe that, you know, they'll really play that way before they actually start playing. And it's only, you know, once they actually get out there and start playing that they realize, okay, maybe I'm not going to play the way I said I was going to play. Because, like, for example, our next competitor D says that she's gonna play like Tony, and I just literally laughed my ass off at it.
Right.
Because
it's good. It's good luck trying to play like Tony.
Like, really, and you know, everybody who says they're gonna play, oh, I'm gonna play like Tony, I'm gonna play like Boston Rob. It's one thing to say that preseason. But it's another thing to actually do it. And there's, I think it's been shown on multiple occasions that there's just no way that you can emulate Survivor Legends when you go out there, no matter how hard you try. But speaking of D, the one thing that sticks out to me is stamina shouldn't be a problem for her. If she's a marathon runner like she claims that she is, stamina, and you know, normally every season we have competitors who tire out very early on in challenges. I think we won't see that happen with her this season.
Okay. But there are problems with certain players that have issues with their mouth.
Oh yeah, I kind of got that a little bit from certain players, just from watching the interviews, and if anything, reading a lot of the stuff. Like in particular, obviously there's a few that we'll get to later, but it's. Just certain things that they've said have just completely drawn me to, like, ugh. Like, really? That's what you're going with? Okay. So, I mean, Melissa, what are your thoughts on D heading into this season, just based off of what we've been given so far?
You know what? I really like her. I would like to see her go deep in the game, pretty deep, like right up there with Mr. Austin. I think that she, just by listening to her interview, I just think that she's so well-rounded. And she has just a lot of experience.
Oh,
No, I can kind
who's
of agree with that.
I like her a lot. I really do.
That would have been me. I was trying to whistle, but my lips wasn't wet enough to whistle, so I stopped. I was trying to go.
Are you gonna tell me she's pre-merge?
We still talking about the same girl, right? What's her name? So.
Not Sabia. D. We're talking about D, the Cuban girl.
Oh.
D.
No,
D,
I was talking about Sabia. No, I wasn't talking about D. Don't confuse that. Don't confuse that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
No, I wasn't talking about D.
Okay, thank you.
But I
really like her a lot.
I'm trying to look through my damn files, and like an idiot, I got them on two different damn folders, and I'm trying to go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. So D is originally from Havana, Cuba, and her family moved to Florida. So she's currently in Miami, Florida.
Oh, she's down there with
Brenda. Is D the first Cuban to have been on Survivor?
I don't know, but she's perfect English. She's got an accent for sure, but she speaks really good English. So she's been in the States a long time. She was a little girl when she came.
And I'm looking at the tribes, still trying to figure out which tribe she's on, who she is.
She is on Reba.
Reba.
Yeah, I see her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of like that tribe, I think.
Yeah, there is at least one other, at least two other, well, actually one and maybe two more that I really like. I like that. There's a couple of them that okay. Reba.
I bet you like Drew the Nerd.
You know,
oh,
he's the
God.
One that I think he'll make the merge. We'll have to wait to see. A lot of people will look at him and say, oh, what a nerd. He's probably not going to do shit. But I actually think that his personality is completely different than what people think he's going to be.
There is someone on that tribe that's going to be a huge personality before it's over with.
I know, probably Sifu.
Nope. Jim, he comes off as so cocky.
Female. Jamaya.
Well, I predict that Jamaya, I don't think she's going to be long for the world, or long for the game, let's just say.
Oh, maybe she could be up around the merge.
I don't know about not being long for the game because let's not forget she passed up law school in order to.
Well, I'm not saying
pursue.
I'm saying
well,
that.
Here's one thing. Here's one thing everybody needs to keep in mind as far as when you're talking about long for the game. As sorry as the Lulu tribe is, it's going to allow other players to keep surviving because Lulu is boo-boo.
I know.
Garbage.
Okay, let's just put it this way. I think that Jamaya, I think she is very smart. However, she dropped out of law school to focus on a singing career. And from what I understand, she may just be out there for followers, especially since she likes to break out in song and drive everybody crazy.
Well, I don't know about
Well, I mean, let's don't ignore that because there's a little truth to that.
Mm-hmm. I think,
can I just say one thing?
I think she's smart and she could go far, but I'm also looking at the fact that she may just be out there for followers. Go ahead.
Well,
oh,
she ain't gonna
Jim,
win.
We do.
She ain't gonna win. I can tell you that. She's not gonna win.
Jim, we do have our survivor historian with us in Tim Gross, who could shed his
Tim,
expertise.
Can I
say something?
Whoa! Let me tell Tim something. Tim.
Okay.
Try not to have an orgasm on air since your team's winning 25-3.
Honestly, they should be winning by more, but I love that they're winning by this much. The other two games were close. Because the Eagles have gotten down the red zone several times and just not converted with a touchdown. AJ just dropped one.
All right. Somebody else was jumping in right before I went to Tim.
I was. I would just like to say that maybe we could just be silent for a minute for Eddie.
Oh,
I
yes.
miss him so bad.
Yeah.
So, it took me a long time to try to get over that.
It's not going
to
be the same this year. I just
love
him.
We are missing a huge part of our podcast this season.
Yes.
We've always had that we always named Eddie's edits because he watched the edits so closely.
Yep.
And I learned from that man, and he learned from me.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I apologize for not thinking about it.
No, you got so much on your mind. I mean, I go to his page, and I just miss him. We talked a lot on the phone.
Yeah.
So, okay, continue.
We're all
going to
miss you, Eddie. But we know you're looking down on us, buddy. We know the winner. We know Eddie knows the winner.
That's right.
He does. Yay, Eddie. Could you please tell me?
Yeah, I think I had told you before that Eddie could probably tell you now, give you all the spoilers.
Yeah,
he can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took.
Maybe you need to do a seance.
I mean,
okay.
I've been around long enough on there to have lost some friends. I mean, Steve remembers old Wild Brian Williams, and of course, me and JJ remember Aunt Patty Mager, and me and Tina White were so close with Joe Arnold. I mean, and Eddie was just like, that was the hardest one to take so far.
Yep, you're right. That is. I mean, oh man. Okay, let's continue.
He was let me tell you, from his talks with me privately, he felt so happy and blessed that he was a moderator in Whispers with us.
Yeah.
Oh, he even thanked me because I was a administrator. He even thanked me.
Yeah,
that was
really huge to him at a point in his life that he really needed it.
Yeah, really.
So Eddie.
Yeah.
We're gonna miss you, buddy. But we know you watching us. We know you know who won. And if I'm out of line and I'm wrong, you send some messages to these people, these fine people on this podcast to question me.
Love you, Eddie.
Yes, Eddie will never. This podcast will never be the same. Basically, without our edit expert. I mean, we could try to put together some semblance of the Survivor edit, but nobody will be able to do like Eddie was able to.
Ain't nobody go ever know the edit like he did.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. This is true.
Yeah.
All right. He knew
colors. He knew sound. He knew locations. People don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
So. But thanks for that, Reggie.
Yeah,
he's just been weighing heavily on my mind today for, you know, when I knew we were going to all call in, and I just thought, no, I have to say hi, Eddie. And I'll probably say hi, Eddie, every time we talk, just so that he knows we know that he's there. Okay, let's go on.
I agree.
Since Tim just joined us, Tim, I want to get your thought. We've already covered a couple of survivors already for this season. We've covered Austin. We've covered Dee. We've covered J. Maya. We've covered Sabia. And to a slight extent,
not Sabia
we've covered,
yet.
No, but it was
we haven't covered
talked
her.
About.
Yeah, she's on the other tribe, though. We're talking about Reba.
Yeah, I know. But okay, we've covered Austin, we've covered Dee, we've covered J. Maya, and we've also covered Drew a little bit to an extent as well. So I want to go to Tim since he just joined us. Tim, do you have any thoughts on these first four competitors from the Reba tribe?
I've got to be honest. I have not seen much of the preseason press. I really haven't had the time for it. But
well,
I can tell you this. Even before Jim said Lulu is basically the disaster tribe, I would have thought this tribe, the red tribe, would have been the disaster tribe.
Really? Because it seems to me, just from looking at it, it seems to me like this could be one of the more athletic tribes.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible I misread that, but I was just looking at those, like, holy crap, they look like a smaller tribe, if that makes sense. Like if there's a challenge involving, like, maybe getting up and knocking something down or whatever, depending on how high it is, it could have been screwed. They could have been screwed. That was the way that was at least part of what went into it for me. But, I just didn't see the athleticism right off the bat. But, obviously I was wrong on that.
Well, I think the three guys that they have on that tribe are going to be pretty athletic. Like I said, I think Drew's going to surprise everybody. I think he's going to be completely opposite of what they'll look at him and think nerd, dweeb, skinny, scrawny, won't be able to do nothing. And I think he's going to surprise everybody.
I'm sorry, continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna chime in and say that despite his cocky attitude that seems to vibe off of him so far from any of the clips, any of the previews that we've been given, it sort of seems like out of all of the Reba tribe, he may be perhaps the biggest social threat. considering the fact that he's very experienced in the sales market, which anybody knows. Whenever you're working in sales, you're having to deal with the public, like, literally all the time. So I think that could potentially be a sticking point for him. Yeah, people may look at him as the nerd, but he also could appear very genuine with the way he talks to people this season. And I do agree with what you said, that the three guys may be some of the more athletic guys this season, especially on the Reba tribe, like Nicholas Sifu, who's a gym owner, I believe.
Yeah.
And he says he's been a martial artist his entire life. So if you're practicing martial arts, you have to be in shape. The only thing I don't really like about him is that he said that he's going to play like Tony, which we know is basically just a dream for survivors at this point. Because like we mentioned earlier, just because they say they're going to play like a certain person, that doesn't mean they're going to be that person.
A little bit of update. David's having to drop off. He's not feeling well. He'll get back on another podcast.
Okay. Hi, David.
Okay. Bye, David.
You're better, David.
Is that David Cadmus?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next person also that, or actually, no, let's go to Melissa. What do you think about Sifu?
You know, I think he's going to be a lot like, I think he's going to remind me a lot of, like, Jag, a Big Brother. I think he's going to be a really nice guy, but I'm not so sure that he's going to be the best player. I need to see him in action, actually, before I really make a decision on him. But I, for some reason, I think, oh, he's a really nice guy, but I'm not so sure he's going to be very good at Survivor. He might be physically strong, but we'll see.
And Melissa, we considered that. We thought about that. We said, why not just postpone this tonight and let's do the first regular podcast where we have seen them for one episode, we analyze mm-hmm. it, and then go into what we saw. But we figured after a 90-minute episode, we wouldn't have time to do all of that.
Yeah, I agree. There, I mean, I'm pretty, like I said, I sat down yesterday and today and watched tons and tons and tons of videos.
God bless you. I used to do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
You try and take my spot, girl.
No. No.
But
that's
what
I used to do
all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's a nice guy, but like I said, I need to watch him in action. He may surprise me, but we'll see.
And that's why it's different for me, because I've always told people when they ask me about what I do, I always tell them I work backwards. And I did that when I was playing Whispers games. Steve can tell you this. I always work backwards.
Yep.
I see the end. I see the end as to what I want when I'm playing a game, and I work backwards to get to it. I see the end on a Survivor season, and I'm trying to work back to try to tell people how to get to it. So, I mean, that's the little, I mean, it's odd, I guess, but that's how you do it. I mean,
well,
you don't want to know the first
end, honey, and I'll help you with that.
You don't want to know the first week, the second week, and you're wondering what the hell happens the next 12, 11 weeks. You want to know the end and work it backwards to how it happened.
Right, and I said, if you message me the end, I'll help you work it backwards.
Yeah, you can message me, too.
Okay, so anyway.
All right, so yeah, Steve, take it back over. Take it back over. I interfere.
Yeah. Well, the last person that we have on the Reba tribe is Julie Alley, who is an estate attorney. She ended up going to law school at the age of 40. So with her being 49, obviously, you know, she hasn't been that long out of law school. So she knows how to, I guess, manipulate people and read people, you could say. And
is she the girl with the nickname?
No, I don't think so.
No, she doesn't have a nickname.
Who's the girl with the nickname that's leaving this week?
Hannah, I think.
Oh, Hannah.
It's on the Yellow Tribe. Let me look. I'm checking my notes.
Yeah, I think it's Hannah. She got tattoos.
Yeah, she's first.
Yeah.
Her and Brandon. That's the first two boots. And it's sad for Brandon. Brandon, this is what's horrible for Brandon. He is a Survivor nerd. Honest to God, Survivor nerd. He has played Survivor games online. I can't believe we never had him in Whisper, Steve. But
well,
that's the first two boots is Hannah and Brandon.
You better not try to back out of that one, Steve. I'm going to call you on it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what?
He mentioned Brandon. And the other day when we were talking and I said my favorite is Austin.
There are two Brandons. I'm talking about long-haired Brandon.
And I told Steve, I said, that Brandon dude is going to drive me nuts. He's hyper as fuck. He's going to drive me crazy. Super fan to the max.
Melissa, he ain't going to drive you crazy very long.
I know. But you know what Steve said? I see
what?
Winner.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Steve.
That was before I read up a little bit more on him.
I just gave you the first two people out.
Yeah,
I mean,
that,
you should have
known
that.
You
just had to
do
that. Okay.
Who has the volume on in the back?
And from what I hear, Melissa, this guy Brandon has a huge following on Twitter, and they think he's going to win, and they're going to really, really be disappointed.
Well, you know, that first interview I saw, I mean, I had already seen the interview when Steve and I were chatting, and I said, man, he's going to be so hyper. He's going to drive me crazy. I mean, he's just going to drive me nuts. But anyway.
Jim, the one thing that gets me about him is as soon as – this was before I actually read his thing, before I read the interviews that he did. And when I saw that he said he gets over anxious, the first thing I thought of was, oh, no. That's going to be when you're out in a game like Survivor where you need to be patient with certain players.
No, I mean, I've always said there are three simple things you need to do, and there's a number four. Number four is be patient, let the game come to you. But the
right.
other three are numbers, loyalty, and timing. That's what you do. That's how you play this game. But you want to throw in number four, it's be patient and let the game come to you. Don't go after it that early in the season.
Well, it sounds
so anyway,
like that's exactly what this dumbass is going to do. Instead of letting the game come to you. I'm sure
with him being a super fan, watching all these seasons, one of the things he thought about was camera time. And that's not why you're out there. You're out there trying to win a freaking $1 million.
That's right.
Exactly.
So,
but
anyway,
there's two people you know
you're losing off Lulu is Hannah and Brandon. That leaves Emily, Caleb, Sean, and Sabia, who ain't going to be there long. So I just told you she's not going to be there long. So there's only going to be three left, Sean, Caleb, and Emily. I mean, that tribe is just going to be decimated.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't even get good vibes from Caleb either, considering the fact that, his huge pet peeve involves people having no sense of humor, people who want to talk about things but won't do anything about it, and you know how many times we see that on Survivor. The first thing I thought of when I saw Caleb was he could potentially be confrontational out there on that tribe and find himself in hot water early on.
Yeah, he's not going to be a player. He's not going to be a player.
And once again, yet another dumbass who says he's going to play like Tony.
Well,
uh-huh.
Caleb's not going to be a player, so forget him.
Thank God, because I was thinking to myself when I was watching his interview. He was just like, he had that, I don't know, he just comes across as cocky and kind of like and with that afro, I was going to call him Disco Cave.
He looks like this is no insult because it was cool back then, but he looks like a guy back from the 70s disco.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and has that attitude like, hey, baby, hey, you know, you look fine, honey. I don't know. That's just the kind of guy he reminds me of, just super cocky, thinks the shit don't stink, and all the women love him, and yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a golden retriever.
And then he goes...
So where are we at, Steve? We bouncing around. Where are we at?
Well, right now we're on the Lulu tribe. We were just on Caleb. We know obviously about Brandon. We know about Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, does anybody have any other thoughts about Caleb?
Nah, I don't think so. We're moving on to Emily and Sean, I guess.
All right. Yeah, we'll move on to Emily. And the first thing I saw red flags pop up in my head where she said that she was told that her personality is similar to Cass. And we remember how Cass, what people thought of Cass out there on the island. Also, another thing too, she said she's out of shape, doesn't like the outdoors. And also people can find her off-putting. Like, it's literally red flag after red flag after red flag with her. And maybe I'm completely wrong, but she just strikes me. It's no wonder, Jim, that you said the Lulu tribe is a complete disaster. Because
I will tell you this. As bad as the Yellow Tribe is, when they're starting to lose these couple of first players, Emily, Caleb, Hannah, and Brandon are targets.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised, honestly, by that. That
mm-hmm.
they're early targets early on, especially considering everything that we know about Hannah and now what we know about Brandon. Just the way that Caleb described himself, and also now that Emily has described herself, it's just red, like I said, red flags everywhere, basically, when it comes to her. So, I think this tribe has potential that we could have a Stephanie LaGrossa situation potentially, Stephanie Bobby John situation, where if say the final two competitors on this tribe are potentially Emily and Sean, or Emily and Sevilla, or Sean and Sevilla, it could be a pretty nasty pre-merge for Lulu.
Yeah. Well, you know they're going to have a merge. So.
Before
we move on to a couple of other people, I'll throw a couple of things out there. This season, the tribe that wins immunity challenge gets to send one of their own members to the losing tribal to observe, watch, and listen and bring back information.
Hmm.
Ooh. Okay, that's different because they've only done that as like a once a season type twist. They've never done that where it happens every single tribal.
They don't get to vote. They get to watch, observe, and hear information, and then go back to their camp.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like I said, that's a first.
I will throw one other thing out there. Watch the girls. Watch the ladies.
Ooh.
I said that when, what was her name? A couple of seasons ago, everybody said, oh, there's no way she's going to win. What was her name?
Marianne.
Carolyn.
Erica.
That's it. Thanks, Tim. Erica Costas. Yeah. Everyone said, there ain't no way, and I kept saying, just keep watching her. Just keep watching her.
And so, lo and behold.
Melissa, your thoughts on... Your thoughts on Jake? What do you think about Jake?
Oh, we're not there yet, honey.
Okay. All right.
I still have to give my input about Emily.
All right.
If we keep jumping all over, we're all gonna get confused.
Hold on. We also have Sean to do too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emily.
Well, hey, one other thing, because I know the commercials about Medevac. All right, never mind. Go ahead, Steve. Take over.
All right. What were you going to say, Melissa, about Emily?
Listening to her talk, she was saying, oh, and I've been with this guy for 10 years. I've been in this job for blah, blah, blah. And it just screams, you know, you're bored. You're looking for a vacation. That's just what it seemed to me. I mean, I don't hate her, but she's not one of my faves.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I would consider Survivor a vacation.
Well, you know what I mean. She was looking for something to amuse her, keep her busy for the summer, I guess.
True. Yeah, that would. I mean, obviously, that would keep her amused if that's the point you're going for with that. We do also have Sean, who is a school principal. So obviously, you know, he is known to make connections with the younger crowd, which actually could kind of fit in because he is, I mean, technically, you know, nobody on that tribe, like he is the oldest one on that tribe, only being 34 years old. But maybe perhaps he might be able to be one of the better social players on the Lulu tribe. And he claims to be good with reading people's emotions and empathizing with others. So with, you know, everybody talks about how Survivor is a physical and strategic game, but also the social, you know, you have to take into account, too, the social game plays a pretty big part, too. So I think it's possible, you know, if Sean, I don't know if there's a tribe swap or anything this season, but if Sean can if he can somehow move away from the Lulu tribe and ingrain himself into some of the other new tribe mates he'll have, he could potentially ride pretty far into the pretty far past the merge potentially. With his social skills of having to deal with younger people.
Nope.
I mean, what do you think, Melissa?
You know, I have in my notes here, I don't think he's even going to make the merge. He seems like a super nerd. I think he's going to be very awkward. You know, when I was, and I mean, no disrespect for my cousin's husband, but he reminds me of my cousin's husband. He looks just like him, and he talks just like him. And actually, they actually lived in Orem and Provo. That's where my family originated. Well, my Aunt Betty and all of her kids were originally in Orem and Provo. They've since moved away from there. I think maybe one of them still live there. But I'm like, I actually had to go look and see if my cousin's husband had a friend named Sean Edwards on his friends list because I thought they could be related for sure because they were so much alike. So anyway, I'm thinking I don't think he's even going to make the merge. But that's it.
Wow. I mean, obviously, you know, with a tribe swap, anything's possible, even though if he even makes the tribe swap, we'll put it that way. You know, just with how chaotic this Lulu tribe sounds, anything could happen potentially with this tribe. You know, for all we know, maybe this is the first tribe in a long time that doesn't have a single person potentially make the merge. So I do think, though, that Sean would probably be, I still believe at least, would be the best chance that the Lulu tribe has of potentially having somebody in the merge phase or maybe potentially towards the end game. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we've covered the Reba tribe. We've covered the Lulu tribe. Now we go to a tribe that we have not gotten anything out of, the Balo tribe. And
what is that?
We'll start out with Jake. Who Jim had brought up earlier.
Who has their TV on?
Not me.
Not me.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I have somebody, somebody has... Or if it isn't a TV, it's like an audio recording or something. Somebody has some sort of feedback. Hang on, let me see if I can figure out who it is.
Okay, you know, while you're doing that, I wanted to say one more thing about this Lulu tribe. As far as Sabaya goes, I did like her when I was reading her or listening to her interview and stuff. And then when I was reading that episode description in Whispers Premiere and found out that she and Sean were the catalyst in to getting Hannah out, that turned me off to them big time. I did not like that at all.
And you know, another thing that really surprises me too, and I actually thought a little higher of Sabia before finding out all that, was the fact that she had spent...
Make it very, 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 very clear. She is a highly pissed off ex-contestant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I can see that. I can see it now. But when I was first watching her interviews, I liked her. I have to say, I liked her. But then when I saw that description of the first episode, I did not like her no more. And the thing is I really liked Hannah. I liked her a lot. And, I mean, she went on the journey. She went on the journey, and she didn't risk her vote. So that means she came back empty-handed. She told him that she came back empty-handed. But no, Sabaya and Sean, she's lying, right?
Well, I think, you know,
And then Brandon had a lot to do with that, too, the jerk.
I
freaking love how much Melissa researches this stuff. I love it.
I don't blame them for thinking the way they did, though. I don't blame them, because if you look at any of the previous seasons, ever since they started the whole journey stuff, there's been quite a few people who have actually lied about what they did on the journey. So I'm not surprised at all, honestly, that they took it that way, that she was actually lying when really she was telling the truth.
Yeah.
What do you think?
But
JB,
Let's get JB in here. What you think about all this, JB? What do you think about this first, second episode with who's leaving? What do you think about all this crap that we're talking about now?
I'm gonna be loving it, really. Seeing all this crap going down, and especially with Sabaya. Sabaya. She's gonna be a loose cannon for the time that she's out there, and it's like, oh man.
Yeah, and it's very surprising, too, when you consider the fact that, you know, she spent 4 years in, I think, what was it, the Marines? 4 years in the Marines, and you would think that she would be more disciplined. She would be more disciplined and more, more cool under pressure. And yet... we're going to end up seeing what we see out of her in the first episode. You know, I think that just goes to show you that the game of Survivor, it doesn't matter what background you may have, you know, you won't know how you're going to play or, you know, what scenarios you're going to be in until you actually get out there. But moving on next, though, we do have the Bello tribe to discuss as well. And the first one that Jim had brought up was Jake, who is an attorney out of Boston. And he really seems to value the fact that he can think logically, and also that apparently he finished something called a Spartan race. I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds like, you know, in order to actually complete that, you would have to be in some sort of physical shape. So I would assume that, you know, he's probably going to be a bit of a force over on the Bello tribe. Ultimately, you know, the one thing that he wants to do is he wants to be able to move out of his Nana's house by winning this game. I don't see him making it to the end. I would be surprised, honestly, if he makes it to the end. But I could see him maybe potentially sneaking into the jury, you know, maybe being a couple of, you know, one of the first jury boots, when you consider that he could be somebody that, you know, maybe his boisterous attitude rubs a couple of people the wrong way, maybe. I mean, let's get the thoughts of Reggie on this one. Reggie, what are your thoughts on Jake O'Kane from the Bello tribe?
No clue on him. I know I haven't heard anything about anybody because that's the way I roll, I guess. I don't know. But he's just by looking at his photo, he looks too or dainty, or he doesn't look rugged. Like, you know, like they could go out there and live for 40 days. I don't think he's going to make it very far.
You don't think he'll make it far?
Well, he may make it to the merge or the three, but I don't think he's going to win. almost thralled with him at all. I mean, it's not like he's okay. Like, say, he looks rugged, and so does Caleb. Like that. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I'll be amazed if he makes it, you know, all the way to the end.
JB, what about you? What are your first thoughts when you see Jake on the Bello tribe? JB?
Well, you know, I used to have web TV.
Oh, my God. All right. Well,
he muted himself.
How about we move on to Tim then? What about you, Tim?
Who are we on, Jake?
Jake, yes, from the Bello tribe.
I could see him making jury. I think he'll probably be like somewhere early to mid jury. That would be my. Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
You are very wise.
Well, he is our Survivor historian after all.
Well, he pegged Jake.
How about you, Melissa? I know you did all of your research from listening to all of the interviews. What was your first impression of Jake on the Bello tribe?
He likes to brag about himself a lot. I know it was an interview to get to know them, you know more about them and everything, but I don't know. Just something about him I did not like. Although
Maybe a guy that gets close to third place or third place and gets no votes, maybe he's up in the mix at the end and just sort of is left out.
So basically Troy's in.
Oh, God, he's going that far? Oh, God.
I didn't
really? I was thinking he'd probably make the merge, but he wouldn't go to the end.
Me too.
Ugh. God.
Can you hear me now?
There are no
medevacs.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
No medevacs. Uh-huh. But that don't mean somebody don't quit.
Oh, no. Oh God! If there's one thing I hate more than medevacs, it's quitters.
Maybe they get one of them out of the way on the premiere.
That sounds good.
Wow.
So
then we
carry
would
on. I'm just tossing shit out there every once in a while. Just carry on.
He's just giving a bunch of bullshit, and if we listen, we listen.
Yeah, as far as you won't quit, it's going to be two people quit. So.
Quit? Oh, my God.
Is Jake one of them?
That's friggin' worse.
Oh, and one other thing. How much do you folks like Shot in the Dark? Do you like that little twist?
No.
Okay. Not really.
It's going to finally work this season.
Oh,
well,
geez.
It worked. Was it last season or the season before that it worked, too? Remember?
Last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, that's what I got for you tonight. I'm gonna listen and hear what you guys think about these people.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we have a newbie. Well, maybe not a newbie in terms of seasons, but he is technically a newbie considering he only lasted one day last season due to a concussion. We have Bruce. Who early on last season, he was seen. I remember they mentioned that Bruce was seen as a father figure slash leader of his tribe before he ended up being taken out due to a concussion. And I'm wondering if maybe perhaps the same might apply here, but could that potentially be a detriment to him where, you know, he's seen as the elder statesman of his tribe, but on a tribe full of young people, could that also potentially, you know, I don't want him to be booted because, oh, he's the oldest person on the tribe. And
I don't see that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. This taped after his medevac aired, right?
Yeah.
So these people probably know who he is heading into this.
Yeah, they
game.
Do. They all know.
So I think the big question too is, will people look at his one day experience and use it to their advantage? Which, I mean, let's be honest, he didn't really do much in a day that he was out there, or less than a day that he was out there. Or, you know, could people potentially look at him and say, well, he couldn't last the first time. What makes us think that he'll be more durable this season? You know, could he be viewed as a potential weak point of the Bellow tribe? What do you think, Melissa?
I think that Bruce, I think he's got a lot of people starstruck. And I got to tell you that watching all these interviews and stuff, a lot of people knew, they knew that he was on last season. They all mentioned it. So I'm wondering if they didn't get to see while they're in sequester, if they didn't get to see last season.
No.
No?
No.
Well, it seems to me like a lot of them are starstruck.
If they know who he is, he brought it on himself.
Ooh, that doesn't...
Huh.
That doesn't sound good, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. You know, I was thinking to myself, as much as a big deal that they're making out of him right now, that he's probably not even going to make merge. That was my thought. Love it.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But, you know, it also doesn't help either that there's barely any footage of him that they showed as well. Like, pretty much, I believe the only footage we got out of the preview was him jumping off the boat.
They do show footage, but it's like at the start for like 3 seconds, and then it's like, okay, we took care of you, Bruce. Get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, normally that's not a good sign. When you're looking at a preview of a season, usually that's not a good sign. If they show you right out the gate, because of him obviously being a returnee, technically a returnee, even though he lasted only one day, that's never a good sign when they basically rush through you like that.
Yeah, that didn't happen. I mean, they brought him back.
Right.
They brought him back. It was a great PR move. I mean, look at it for what it is. It was PR for the show. They're bringing somebody back that left like they did. It was PR.
Right.
That's all it was. It was one slot in the cast. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was basically to, put it this way, if they hadn't done it, you know, there would probably be a little bit of negative PR basically for CBS, that it's like, oh, you know, this guy barely even got to play the game last time because of, you know, because of an injury that he suffered, and yet you guys aren't even going to bring him back. So, if anything, this is basically CBS saying, well, here, we did it. So, you know, not gonna do him any more favors after that, essentially. You know, he got his chance to show whether or not he could play, and obviously whatever happens ends up happening.
Right.
But what are your thoughts, Tim, on Bruce entering this season?
Yeah, I was hoping he wouldn't make it far, but I wasn't sure really how he would do, because he's basically a newbie like everyone else. He doesn't have any real experience to go off of him to help him or anything like that.
Right. And if anything, that could basically be seen as, well, you know, he's on equal footing, essentially, just like everybody else.
Yep.
In the game. All right. Next on our list, we have. Let's see. We have the other Brandon Meyer, who has been a fan since Survivor 21 Nicaragua. Considers himself a quick thinker, which. In this game, you have to be quick on your toes, which that could potentially serve him well down the line, I feel. Also, you know, he really seems like a smart competitor. You know, maybe he may not be the most physical out of everybody there, but he may outthink people before he would out-physical somebody. What are your thoughts on Brandon, Melissa?
They're calling him Brando. His name is Brandon, but they call him Brando because there was another Brandon on this show. But anyway, I think he's very young. One thing about him is that he was saying that he was overweight as a kid. And he lost a lot of that. He lost a lot of weight. I think that he, you know, I really need to see him play because I think he's smart, and I think he's going to have a good social game, but I'm not so sure he's going to make it to the end. He may make merge, but I don't think it's going to be to the end.
Who
That's
is making
thought.
That annoying noise?
I think it's
I
Reggie.
Have no idea.
Reggie, do you have something on in the background?
I have nothing on but my phone.
Huh. I don't because every time I mute you, it always goes away for some reason.
I'm just in my house, in my bedroom.
That is so weird.
Could it be my phone?
I don't know. I mean, it could. It could be. I don't know if you want to try and call back in and see if that solves it, maybe.
Okay. I will. Goodbye.
Hey.
Tim, what are your thoughts on Brando?
I got to be honest. I don't know too much about Brando, so like I can't really make any comments either way about him. Like I said, I really have not seen a whole lot of pregame press or anything about that. I've seen a few things here and there, but I haven't watched any of the videos or anything.
Yeah.
Is it me?
No, you're back. You're back. It seems like whatever was going on in the background has stopped Reggie.
Huh. I wonder what that could be because, like I said, I'm in my room.
It seemed like it stopped when she hung up.
No, it might have been the connection to Blog Talk. Sometimes when Blog Talk connects certain lines, I've had it before where I've been talking and I would be going in and out, when yet there would be nothing wrong with my phone, and it turns out it was just my connection to Blog Talk. So it's possible it may have just been your connection to Blog Talk. Blog Talk, let's put it this way, they haven't really been on the ball in recent months. So, but yeah, let's. How about you, Reggie? What do you think about? What are your first thoughts about Brando on the Bello tribe?
Well, I think he looks a lot. He looks very athletic, I think, and not Brando. Sorry, maybe that was. I don't remember. But Brando looks very smart. I think he's going to be. I think he's going to make merge, I think he's going to have a lot of influence on the others while he's in the game. Does that make any sense?
I think it's possible when you consider that he considers himself a quick thinker. And like I said earlier, normally in this game, you have to be quick on your feet. When it comes
and he looks
to
like
decision
he's
making.
Trustworthy. I mean, I think other people will look at him like, oh, look at this fresh-faced kid. He's not going to go lying to me. He's trying to help me. I hope.
So, yeah, that is something that, we've seen Survivor contestants in the past judge other contestants like that. So I could see that potentially with him. Our next contestant, we have, what's her name, Katura, I think is how you say that, who is
Katura
a
Tops.
Civil, yeah, Katura Tops, who is
lawyer.
A civil a civil rights attorney. And
I like her.
I do like her. The one thing that I think could be a potential problem is she says that she's almost colorblind, which I don't know how much of a factor that might play in challenges, but that could prove to be a potential problem.
I'm colorblind to an extent, so I'm almost totally colorblind, and it may and it may not, depending on if they have to go after certain colors or, you know, because mainly we can see like grays, blacks, whites, you know, stuff like that. So if they don't have to go after a certain color, it may not bother her. But I don't know how far along.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know how bad her colorblindness is. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I don't think she really said it, actually.
Hmm. Now I know why I like her, because a lot of women are not colorblind. It's mainly men. Yeah, I really liked her. I don't know why.
And also, she says that she's obviously she's going to hide the fact that she's an attorney, which, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, if she can get in front of a jury, and with her being an attorney, being able to be skilled at making arguments, she could potentially have if she has a strong enough argument and strong enough skills to influence people, she could be a potential contender, I feel, for to be the winner potentially.
That's what I was thinking. She's a good lady. I like her. I don't know why, just looking at photos, I like her face, I like her photos. I like her name.
Melissa, what are your thoughts on Keturah Tops?
I like her. She did say that she was going to lie about her age and say she was 29 when she's actually 35. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have to see her play. But as much as I do like her, and I like that she's the civil rights attorney, and I know her heart's in the right place, I don't see her making merge. But if she does, I don't see her going to the end.
Oh, man, you just burst my bubble.
I'm sorry. But see,
I
know what?
You
I could be wrong. Jim is the one that you need to ask about that.
Hello, Jim. You're my friend, my good old pal, my good old buddy, my good old, you know, friend. Would you just send me a DM, slide on into them? Is he still on?
Yeah, he's still on. But he said he would be listening. So.
Oh, well, then he heard me. Thank you, Jim. Bye.
I could be wrong. I really could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, actually. But like I said, she's either going to be right before the merge, or I suppose she could make jury. I'm going to guess somewhere in between.
And you know, though, I could see her potentially pass off as a 29-year-old. Even though she's 35, I could see her pass off as a 29-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brando looks like he could be 17. So.
Yeah, he was saying He was saying he went into his was it his orthodontist or his optometrist not long before coming in, and they thought he was 12.
Yeah. I'm just, I almost said 15, but I thought I'd be polite.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks pretty young. You know, he's the same age as Drew on the Red Tribe. So, they're the
same
age. Yep,
a couple of 22.
Drew and Brenda. Yep.
I'll tell you one thing. Just based off of what I've seen, I think what Jim said earlier was keep an eye on the women.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting the vibe that a lot of the women on the Blue Tribe in particular, I think we have to keep an eye on.
Yay!
Because our next one is Kelly Nalbandian, who is a critical care nurse. And obviously, you know, she has experience with handling people. Being in a high-pressure environment like she's in, you know, she already has to be adaptable in her everyday job to begin with. She also has to be rational, literally 24/7. When she, and I believe she started out as an EMT actually as well. I believe that,
yeah,
that she
mentioned. When she was 18, she was an EMT.
So, I mean, having to make those decisions at 18 years old, I mean, wow, you know, it's so, you know, just like Keturah, I think that Kelly could be a potential front runner for the women as well.
Mhm. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, what is your read on Kelly, Melissa?
I think that she's going to be really good. At least I'm hoping, because I really like her. I think she's going to be kind of no-nonsense a little bit, but I do think that she's going to be pretty athletic. I think she's going to give a lot to her tribe. I don't know. I just got a good feel about her.
Reggie, how about you?
Oh, I really like her, and I like Kendra, too. I like all three of those women.
Okay.
The three Ks. I like all three of them.
Tim, how about you? Do you think that a critical care nurse could potentially be crucial in, you know, having the experience of a critical care nurse could be crucial for somebody trying to play the game of Survivor?
Yeah, I can see it because they see people at their worst, you know, and it's like you got to be there for them on their worst day, and I feel like that kind of thing is someone to really trust you, even if they shouldn't. And
right, so
they also have to have other skills that I think could translate well to Survivor.
Yeah, I think she's going
right
to do well. She says,
right,
I could bro out with the jocks, nerd out with the nerds, and be besties with the girls.
A.K.A. being adaptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, if anybody knows the game of Survivor, you know, adaptability is a definite big plus. If you're somebody, if you're a competitor who is adaptable on the fly, that could be something that could come very handy for somebody like her. All right, and our final competitor for the Bellow tribe, we have Kendra, who sees bits of herself in players like Amanda, Michelle Fitzgerald, that is, and Kim. She's another person who has completed some sort of long-distance trek, which she said that she completed the Camino de Santiago, which I guess is some sort of hiking path, I suppose. So she's definitely in shape. I think that definitely that will help her out in potentially keeping her around. Also, the fact that she's very outgoing, you know, that definitely helps with the social game. And I find it very intriguing, the combination of competitors that she gave. But yet, she said that she connected most with Carolyn from last season because of the fact that what you saw on the screen out of Carolyn is exactly who Carolyn was. That basically Kendra values authenticity, essentially, as a huge factor moving forward in this game. What are your thoughts, Melissa, on Kendra?
Okay, I am completely opposite of you guys. She lives in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Beautiful area, by the way.
Yep, very beautiful.
But I think she's obnoxious. I think she's scatterbrained. At least this is what I'm getting from her interview. And it could be that she was just so excited and she just couldn't come up with, I don't know. I don't know what it is about her, but I guess I'm just going to have to wait and see. I may change my mind about her, but I was thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to be so obnoxious. It gave me the same kind of vibe that Brandon did, Brandon Donlan.
Do you think maybe perhaps if Bello loses anybody in the pre-merge, that maybe she could be a potential candidate?
Well, let's see here. What else do I have written down? This is the thing. Keturah don't like Kendra.
Oh boy.
Kendra very much annoys Keturah. She's just loud and obnoxious.
That's not a good sign.
However, she is kind of with the boys. She and Kelly are kind of with the boys. The boys have kind of got a all-guys alliance type thing, but they added, like, Kendra and Kelly. And Keturah is the only one. She's kind of, like, left out. She doesn't really have anybody. This is from I got this from the first episode. Description that Jim posted.
Tim, what are your thoughts on Kendra?
I feel like she's either someone that's going to be gone early or makes it really far. No in between.
Reggie,
yeah,
what about
you? Pre-merge. At least pre-jury.
Reggie, what about you when it comes to Kendra?
I liked her by her photo. I don't know anything else about her, but I liked her by her photo. The three Ks, I'm hoping they all go far.
Obviously, we know that from Jim, we know that Bruce is a pre-merge boot, and just based off of what we know out of everybody else on on this tribe, I would say that Kendra probably has the highest probability out of everybody else remaining after Bruce that she could be a potential pre-jury boot or pre-merge boot, I mean.
Yeah, I think she's not going to last as long as the other two, although Keturah kind of worries me a little bit because according to that description of the first episode, she doesn't really care for Kendra, and that might not be a good thing for her.
You know, one thing
we'll just
that
kind of
worries
and see.
Me, one thing that kind of worries me is the fact that, you know, Keturah is a civil rights attorney, and I know how sometimes, you know, not to bring politics into this, but I know how sometimes civil rights things can get kind of heated, and I really hope we don't see this happen where an incident ends up occurring or something on the island that causes her to just completely lose it, especially if it has to do with civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe quit.
Well, quit or maybe do something that would get her kicked off, potentially.
Yeah.
By the way, Reggie, I don't know how you did it, but you somehow pulled a Houdini after getting disconnected right before the after show, and you ended up reappearing back on the switchboard after it went to the overtime. But you're back on.
Oh, I didn't know any different. I just, for some reason, I got disconnected, so I just clicked redial, and it came right through.
Just so y'all know, I have to hop off and head to bed. Good night to all of
I
you,
do
and
too,
I look
because
forward
I gotta,
to this season with all of you.
Yeah, I got to get
hey,
up early
Tim.
In the morning. All right, so I'm,
yeah,
I'm out
okay,
of here.
I have to get up at 6:45 tomorrow for work. All right, see ya.
All right, well,
good night.
Thank you, Reggie, and thank you, Reggie and Tim, for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Bye, bye, y'all.
Bye.
I'm gonna have to get off too because I have a doctor's appointment in the morning.
Yeah, my daughter's gonna have a procedure in the morning, but I usually stay up pretty late, and I usually get up early, so I'm good.
So I'm gonna say goodbye. Is there
okay,
gonna be
goodnight,
a
Jim.
Is there gonna be
goodnight,
a
Jim.
Call in Thursday night?
Yes.
Thursday, I believe, is the tentative date that we have set for recap shows this season. Thursday.
For
no
Survivor, yeah.
All right.
Obviously, if anything changes, obviously it'll be posted in Whispers.
Okay. Talk to everybody Thursday.
Okay.
All right, JB. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay.
Well, Melissa, I guess it's just me and you and Jim. I know Jim is probably still listening. The one thing we haven't discussed yet is 90-minute episodes and just exactly what we could potentially see extra out of these 90-minute episodes. Now, I believe if my math is correct, they said that the episodes will extend, even though it's 90 minutes, technically it's going to be like around 61 minutes of actual total footage. Because normally it's like it's around like 40 plus minutes normally out of a 60-minute show that we normally see.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and, you know, so that's good. Yeah. Well, there were two things that when I was listening to an interview with Jeff, there were two things that stand out. He said that super fans will be able to figure out stuff just by the title of the shows. And that's the only clue he gave about that. And then he said that with the going to 90 minutes, that they have decided that they are going to make the idols a little bit more tricky to find.
Yeah, I had read something. Might there be something where like they have to be in pairs potentially?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that. How? Well, wait. Where did I hear that pair stuff?
I'm pretty sure it was from that article.
Where they're going to have to find it in pairs?
Well,
so is there going
like
to be two idols in one? That would suck.
No, it was something like to the effect of, you know how they formed the super idol or they tried to form the super idol when Ty refused to give his half of the idol to Scott all the way back when? In order to form a super idol, which could have been used after the vote. I'm kind of wondering if maybe perhaps we might see not exactly the same thing, but maybe something similar to where maybe two people have to find two pieces of the idol. And in order for them to use it, somebody would have to have both pieces. But the difference being that these idols may only be used before the vote is read.
Huh. I don't know. That doesn't sound very fair to me. That doesn't sound like it would be very fair to me. I think if a person finds an idol, they should be able to have an idol to save themselves, not having to worry about where the second part is and trying to get that second part in order to save themselves. I think that's not right. I mean, why even have an idol there? Why even put it out there?
Because
I think that they would run into the same thing where the other person would not be able to. I'm not giving it up, right? I'm not going to give it up to save you because
right.
I want to save me. You give me your half. I think it would be too much.
Oh.
Too much.
Okay, this is where I found the pairing up. This Probst said, idols are much more complex in terms of securing them, and you're going to see the ingenuity required. And maybe you have to pair up with somebody to be a lookout. I think that, you know, that's where I saw the
or to help them out.
Up, so.
That, you know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking is that maybe that means if they see an idol in a tree and they're going to need somebody to help them,
right,
that they might have to go get somebody to try to help them get it. Maybe they have to, somebody has to hold something a certain way in order for the other person to get it. But then that just says, like, for instance, let's just say, for instance, Brando, he finds it. And then he goes to Bruce or to Jake and says, dude, you have to help me. You have to hold this a certain way so that I can get this idol. And then it's a matter of whether that person's going to help him to get the idol. Maybe he doesn't want him to get the idol. Maybe he wants the idol. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay, so that's basically what the complexity, I guess, would be the fact that the idol is in a not easy to reach place.
Uh huh.
Which,
you know, it seems to me like I heard somebody say something along the lines of, in order to avoid some of the problems that they had, well, like, for instance, what's his butt, who fell off that rock and hurt his shoulder last year? Was that Danny?
Matt. No, Matt, I think, was his name.
Yeah, okay. So, you know what? Something just came into my head. For some reason, it just came into my head. No, I'm not thinking right.
What were you thinking?
Because when you said Matt, I immediately thought of Red. Thinking, oh, it's the guy that looked like Red. But I know that Matt didn't have red hair, but I mean, I was thinking the long beard and everything, but I don't think his beard was as long as I...
You're thinking of Matt Bischoff.
Okay. That could be.
Because you said he was a guy that looks like Red, and that's the only one I can think of. But What I really want to see out of this extra time is, you know, obviously they've revamped the idols, but I want to see us get actual content for certain people. Like, I mean, if we're seeing somebody make it to the finals, I don't want to see what we've seen a couple of seasons where, like, a third-place finalist, for example, gets, like, literally almost next to no screen time whatsoever during the whole season. Now, I understand that, you know, they can only use basically whatever this person gives production, essentially, for content. But at the same time, it's like, if you want somebody to get invested in a potential competitor, you know, to potentially be there in the end, you know, you can't treat finalists like how you've treated other finalists in the past when it comes to the edit. So I'm hoping that we see we see a drastic improvement when it comes to confessionals, you know, when it comes to actual content that we see out of whichever players that they try to form a story around. Because otherwise, I mean, it's like, for example, one of the players I brought up earlier, Troyzan. During, I think it was Cambodia, where he was brought back for second chance. It's like, yeah, he made the finals, but. Or no, it wasn't Cambodia. Which one was it? Hang on. No Raw, Millennials, Gen X. Was it? Oh, it was Game Changers. So, you know, for a guy who came in third place, it was almost like towards the end of the season, you're like, wait a minute, was this guy even on this season? Because it's like, what type of footage have we even seen out of him?
Right.
So I hope they fix that with these 64 minute episodes that they now have instead of 40 plus minutes.
Right, that we're going to see a little bit more of the story behind the winner, in other words.
Right. Because even with Jam Jam last season, it kind of felt like, yeah, he's the winner, but it almost felt like his story fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So for those of you who have not seen for all of our listeners anyway, that have not seen the episode description of the first episode, a couple of spoilers, shall I say, is that it looks like Jamaya, Jake, and Hannah were the ones that went on the journey. And Hannah decided not to risk her vote. But with the other two, apparently, hang on. They let me see here. Hannah chooses not to play, so she gets no clue and is unaffected. Jamaya and Jake play, and the rules say that they will arrive back to their beach at the same time, and they must immediately go to the tree mail for more information. The person between them that finds the advantage first gets it and gets to keep their vote. The person who finds it last will also get to keep it, but they will lose their vote. Let me see here. I'm not sure if it's an idol. No, wait. The advantage is that it the advantage is that say they want to see they're gonna have the opportunity to go back to the urn after all the votes are cast. They can go back to the urn and say, I want to see, let's say, I want to see Bruce and Kendra's vote. And then they can see who they voted for, and then they would have the opportunity to say, Bruce voted to get rid of Bruce voted to get rid of Emily. And Emily can say, no, axe that. So he takes away Emily's vote. Or she can say both of them were voting out Kendra, or they were voting out Keturah, and she goes, well, I don't care about that, so I'm not going to mess with the votes. Now, the thing is that they said the rules say that there must be a minimum of 4 votes at tribal council in order for this to be played, and it's good up until the final 6. So I don't know if they decide, hey, I'm not going to do anything to their votes, if they'll still be able to use that down the line.
I don't know. I mean, that kind of sounds like it would be just a one tribal, you know, something that would be done at your first tribal, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, they will have they'll have that advantage, and they'll also be able to vote. But if the second person will also have that advantage, but then they will lose their vote. They won't be able to vote if they use it.
Huh. Okay, so I do like that it seems they've readjusted the journey a little bit so that it's you know, no longer you risk your vote. I mean, technically you're still risking your vote, but it's you actually get something regardless of whether or not you, you know, basically if you're going there, you're getting something. Whether or not you'll have a vote.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that is, you know, a lot of people may put it as, well, that's advantage Palooza. Again, you know, that's just Survivor handing out advantages. But, you know, I kind of see it as a good thing because it was almost like these first couple of seasons, when they've gone out and done the journey, it's like they're not really gaining anything of substance by going out there. For the most part.
Yeah, well, you know, one of them walks away with an advantage. With the journeys before, at least one of them walk away with an advantage. If you all risk your vote, only one of you can actually get the advantage. And then the other two do not. And then they typically get that note that they've lost their vote or whatever. So But this time, it's two people get the advantage, but only one of them gets to keep their vote. Or they can all get the advantage, but only one of them gets to keep their vote. So you do have your risk. You get a reward, but it's basically you're risking your vote.
Right. I mean, regardless, though, you're still at least getting some sort of reward just for even taking
right.
the risk.
Right.
Which
exactly.
I feel,
as well, the other two didn't.
Yeah, which I feel is an improvement over the previous thing where it was like, okay, you know, if you choose to risk your vote and somebody else chooses not to, then, you know, you end up getting the advantage and they end up getting nothing. Or if you all choose to risk your vote, then we do a random draw, and it's like, okay, well then, you know, why should either of the other two who risk their vote, why should they be faulted for making that type of decision? And then they ultimately end up walking away with nothing because of a random draw.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that's actually a pretty big improvement for Survivor. Now the big thing I'm wondering though is that with the switch to 90 minutes, is Probst actually said that he's been trying to get this done for the last 5 years, I believe he said. The last 5 years or so he's been trying to get it switched to 90 minutes, and CBS finally gave them the opportunity to take that shot and do all 90 minutes.
Likely because of the
writer's
strike.
As opposed to, yeah, potentially it could have been because of the writer's strike. But, I wonder if we start to see good ratings as a result of it, if they may keep it at 90 minutes.
Yeah. True.
I mean,
now,
I know what they say.
There are some fans out there who don't like the idea. I know that my friend, who is a big Survivor fan and a big Brother fan, she said she's not going to like the 90 minutes. She goes, oh, my God.
There's always going to be those type
mm-hmm.
of people that don't want to sit around and watch something for 30 minutes longer than it already is. But
uh-huh.
you also do have those people. You do have those people that are like, this show could easily be 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So that we get to see more,
right?
Like you said. But my fear is that because they're adding another layer to the journey, and because it's like a competition within within the journey, because they have to see who gets to the clue first or gets to the reward first. And also making it a little bit harder to find the idols. So my worry is that we're really not going to see more content. We're just going to see more people doing competitions to get their rewards or find their idols. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That would be a pretty big disappointment if that's literally all we're going to see is...
Yep.
That extra time being
yep.
spent on stuff like that.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's not what I want. I want...
Right.
You know, I want an actual you know, I want these characters to be fleshed out, so to speak.
Yeah, you want some more camp time. You want some
Basically.
More camp time. You want some more whispers. You want some more, you know,
I mean,
people talking, and
different.
You want more conniving or strategy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously completely different if, you know, they just don't give production anything to work with. But, you know, there's been some secret scenes that have been put out on YouTube afterwards in previous seasons where it's like, why didn't you guys just include that scene in the edit? I mean, you know, yeah, maybe it wouldn't have had anything to do with the actual story being told, but I mean, hell, even, you know, there's a need for filler in certain, you know, in certain moments of a show. So, you know, there were some cases that I just couldn't get, you know, as far as to why certain scenes were left out of the edit, because oftentimes, if there is something strategic on a secret scene, it'll kind of help add a little bit more explanation to what was actually going on.
Yeah.
So, and also, not to mention, we will see the return, the long-awaited return of the Survivor introductions, too. Which I know fans have been longing to see for many seasons, quite frankly. No, I never really got why they even took them out, even though Probst said it's, oh, we need to add, you know, we need to make room for the story that we want to tell. When it's like, the thing is only like a minute long. You mean to tell me that some of the filler content that you leave in there couldn't have been taken out in order to fit in,
right,
the opening credits?
Right.
So, I mean, it's just... This, if anything, this is their opportunity to show, okay, this is what we're, you know, if we decide to bring this back, you know, for not just this season, but also for future seasons, you know, with 90-minute episodes, this is basically what you're going to get, what you would be looking at, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it should be interesting, I think, moving forward. Hopefully, you know, the ratings prove good enough to justify keeping on 90-minute episodes. Because I can't tell
mm-hmm.
you how many times I've seen people say that they would love they would love it if the episode was like 30 minutes longer.
Yep.
But anyways,
yeah,
especially if
we get more of what we're wanting, like, you know, like we were discussing earlier.
Right.
More
but
of the camp life, more
wanna...
of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically more of everything that, you know, for a show that is going to be putting on 90 minutes, you want to get more character development out of
character development
people.
Strategy. Yeah.
Right. Cuz it's basically like, you know, make this make sense, essentially. Like,
mm-hmm.
if somebody pulls off a move, you know, maybe there's something crucial that was left out that was put in as a secret scene on YouTube or something that should have been put in the actual edit.
Yeah, because if we saw it in the actual edit, it would have given us more of a clue as to who was going to win this damn thing, right?
Potentially, yeah. Now, of course, there are also certain scenes that maybe don't mean jack shit. But, I mean, you know, there's been times that episodes have needed filler, and... You know, I don't think this would be any different. You know, this would give, if there was something that was left on the editing room floor, you know, that obviously wouldn't be the case this go around with extra minutes being added on each episode.
Mhm. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
But by the way, I want to add a quick reminder. We're about 36 minutes into the overtime here. I do want to add a reminder to anybody who may listen to this on the archives that from what it sounds like Thursday nights will be the home for Survivor recap nights once again. Obviously, of course, Melissa and I, we also have, for any Big Brother fans, we have the Big Brother Recap podcast every Friday night. And for anybody who was tuning in last week or this past Friday, we weren't sure if we were going to have a Friday night podcast or not this week, considering the fact that literally nothing is going on in the Big Brother house. But still stay tuned for that. And, of course, Sports Whispers Weekly on Saturday nights, as always. But we still have about 23 minutes left here on tonight's show. And I got to tell you, you know, if everything rings true and, you know, remains the way that it looks like it's going to go for the premiere episode, this may be the first premiere episode in a while, I think, that we see actual drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where it's not like a completely one-sided thing where, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. This person is obviously the one who's being voted out.
Oh. So another spoiler is during the reward challenge on the boat, Brandon overly exerts himself and says he can't breathe. So Jeff stops the challenge and brings in medical. and they do an evaluation and said that he's okay and he can continue.
Jesus, you're literally going through the first challenge of a season, and it's not really even a challenge. And you're already overexerting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Which puts him in a bad light. Puts Brandon in the bad. And then Brandon, he hits the beach and immediately starts talking one-on-one deals with multiple people, but then he gets found out because people start talking to each other and saying, huh? So that's the one big drama thing that happens. And then Sabaya and Sean, they're a little bit worried about, because he told, apparently he told, okay, let me look. He told Emily, he told Caleb, Brandon was trying to make these, you know, and Hannah, trying to make a deal with all these people, except for Sabaya and Sean. And they were feeling a little bit left out. So then all the drama happens. And Hannah says, well, you know, he would be the perfect vote out if we lose. And let me see here. Brandon hasn't said anything to either of them, so they think that he doesn't trust them. And then later on, Sean and Sabaya go off and make a connection with each other about how they were left out. And they'll have each other's back down the road.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's a big, you know, that's a big no-no right out there. First, right out, that's a big no-no if you're playing the game of Survivor. You know, that just screams to me that he played way too hard, way too quickly.
Oh, exactly. And I knew he was going to do that, too, because I told you he was so hyper. He was, I wish you could have seen that. Well, I don't know. Maybe you did, because I think I told you where I got it. But he was hyper. And I thought, oh, God, he's going to just drive me crazy. And I didn't think that he was going to do very well. But, yeah. And it turns out I was right.
And I find it funny, too, because he even said that he got the strategy from his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he got the strategy of whatever he was going to do from his girlfriend. And
oh my God.
Yeah, so hopefully when he left early and he went home early, he blamed his girlfriend immediately as soon as he got home.
Well, could be. It really depends. I don't know.
But then again,
I didn't get from him during that interview that he was going to go out and try and make deals with everybody right off the bat. So I didn't get that vibe from him. I just got the vibe that he was just super hyper. So when I saw that he went out and started making all these deals right off the bat, it didn't surprise me. But I wasn't surprised, gasp, oh my God. But at the same time, I didn't think he'd do that. So anyway. And that's why I'm not so sure about this Sean guy, especially if Sabaya is in trouble.
Right.
I guess we'll see. I guess we'll have to wait and see. So, Jim,
now,
are you going to tell us
actually,
some stuff? Go ahead.
You know, there was actually one person who apparently threw together, Emily threw together her application video after she got very pissed off watching Mike Gabler win his season. Apparently Gabler winning his season pissed her off enough that she decided to apply for the show. But then again, this is the same one that we said, you know, she's the same one that I said popped up so many red flags for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of everything that that she had brought up. So
yeah,
you know, sometimes. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, sometimes it's one thing to act upon your urges, but maybe perhaps congratulations, you know, she got on Survivor because of her urge to do that following her being pissed off about Gabler winning, but Maybe, perhaps, there are some people that should stay. Depending on how well or how poorly she does, you know, it's why they say the show, you know, the game of Survivor is not for everybody, and there's some people that should just stay as fans watching the show as opposed to actually going on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first thing that comes into my head was she must have been a Cassidy fan if she was pissed off that Gabler won that season.
Yeah, I was a Cassidy fan too.
But then again, you know, that was the season of what we call the what the fuck edit. So I really hope we don't have another season like that when it comes to the winner. But, you know, we've seen quite our fair share of edits, so to speak. But, anyways. I can't believe it's almost been 3 hours already. Let's
see. Well, because
you
love to do so
much.
What else
do we have here? Yeah. Oh, you know, another thing too is that I think this is the first time. I might be no, it's not the first time because they've gone back to back, I believe, before. But I do find it interesting, especially with the fact that now that, you know, they're going to have the challenge going on at the same time. They're going to have the challenge. They're going to have Survivor, they're going to have, not the challenge, Big Brother, they'll have Big Brother, Survivor, or wait, no, did they move? Wait, did they move Big Brother off of Wednesdays for the rest of the season?
Huh?
Did they move Big Brother off of Wednesdays for the rest of the season because of Survivor being on?
You know, I don't know. I think they I think they're going to do Tuesdays, aren't they? But I'm not sure that's going to happen right away. How does the reality show reboot?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I won't be watching Sunday night episodes if they're gonna continue to air at 10 o'clock Eastern. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Well, you got something there?
Okay. Yeah, I do, but it's admin related and I'm going to let you know via messenger.
Okay.
Something that I saw. Okay. That I think we need to take action on. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, if any of you are both Survivor and Big Brother fans listening to this, I haven't really been doing updates today. I'm sorry. One of the reasons is because I was trying to get ready for tonight's pod so that I knew what the hell I was talking about. And the place that I got most of my updates from is in jail, so Facebook jail, or Twitter jail, I'm sorry. And I don't have a backup because my backup decided to walk away from updates this year. Okay. So if anybody was wondering why I wasn't doing updates today. What else? What else?
You know, honestly, this is where I wish, we had Eddie still with us, because the one thing, you know, we were talking about edit earlier, and, you know, he would have some real good insight when it comes to, in particular, what we need to see out of this season's edit before, I mean, obviously, you know, the season hasn't begun yet, but, you know, he would know what we need to see when it comes to the edit, you know, like what fans will want to see, essentially. So, unfortunately, you know, I hope we have a pretty good season this season. I hope that, you know, maybe perhaps these 90-minute episodes will help sort of maybe rejuvenate the show a little bit. You know how they always say that TV shows always have to constantly reinvent themselves. Maybe this will be one way to do it when it comes to Survivor. You know, maybe this is basically the next era, so to speak, in Survivor, where they basically you know, they extend it out to 90-minute episodes, and hopefully we get some quality content out of it.
Yeah. Let's just hope. Crossing our fingers. Okay. So we have about 4 minutes left. And you have your Sports Whispers on Saturday. You didn't mention that, right?
Right.
And then hopefully we have a lot to talk about next Thursday with all of the stuff happening. Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway.
Yeah.
That we covered just about all of our bases. So I'd like to say thanks for everybody for calling in, and hope you guys have a good week. We'll see you on Thursday for the recap episode to air Wednesday. And yeah, I was looking for that. I was looking for that thing where it said that gave the new schedule, and that's how I saw the other stuff that I just gave to you.
Oh, I see.
So I was looking for that, and I cannot find it now. It's not readily available. I'm seeing a lot of crap that I have not even... Man, I'm missing a lot of stuff here that I didn't see before on this. I'm going to have to go back and look. Anyway, it seems to me, though, that they said they were going to do it on Tuesdays rather than Wednesdays, but I'm not sure exactly when that's going to start for Big Brother.
Oh, I see. Okay, so basically what they're doing is they're essentially making room for Survivor, and obviously Survivor has the Amazing Race also going back to back with it this year.
Yeah, and Amazing Race is going to be 90 minutes too.
Okay, so I guess I can, that does make sense that they would move Big Brother.
Yeah. Where is that? Calvi. I can't even remember now who posted it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Apparently, though, it says we're not going to get a new episode tomorrow or on Wednesday, but then we're going to get the episode on Thursday. So apparently we're going to get the episode on Sunday, which again is going to be a late one, I think. Well, maybe not. It says 9 Central. But that would still be, what, 10 for you, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then
that would be 10
the Tuesday,
and
it starts Tuesday, October 3rd.
And that, of course, depends on football delays, if there are any.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, then Tuesday's episode starts October 3rd.
Huh. All right. Well, you see, this is a very rare time when Big Brother and Survivor are literally airing at the exact same, during the exact same
yeah.
periods. So... But anyways, that's going to do it for tonight's recap or tonight's cast analysis, I should say. Thank you to everybody who joined us. Obviously, Jim will be back for the recap show this upcoming Thursday. Thank you to Reggie. Thank you to David Cadmus, to Tim, to JB. Melissa, of course, as always. And I believe, did I miss anybody? Well, obviously, a big thank you to Jim. Without his help, none of these podcasts would be possible.
Correct.
I think we got everybody, right?
Yep. We got it all. Yep.
All right. So,
good night, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody, and we will see you guys Thursday night for our first edition of the Survivor Recap Show.